Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. Our friend Brian Cochran with John Moore & Associates, he is a certified financial planner, is in studio, and Brian's got some great insights for us today about money problems and how those affect marriage relationships and all that go into it. And Brian, I'm probably being inappropriate with this, but don't most men just refer to Scripture, Genesis 3:12, it's that woman you gave me, God? I know I'm going to get in trouble with all the women, but I'm really making fun of the men because the men are not, a lot of times, being the leader. And I'm going to raise my hand. I had a failed marriage, and a lot of the stuff that went on with us was financial issues and different things. So I'm looking forward to what you have to say. I've obviously had to learn a lot and use that experience to, you know, get back on a better path. And so, Brian, I'm really excited to have you here. Let me tell everybody a little about you. You are a certified financial planner with John Moore & Associates, as I alluded to a little bit earlier, and you collaborate with tax advisors, attorneys, and other insurance professionals and other people to help people put together a financial plan.
Yep.
You also have got some interesting awards. I mean, wow, Forbes named you the number one advisor. That's a big-time award. Good job.
For New Mexico.
Yep. Strong work.
Yep, and a lot of that is really a reflection of our overall team. So I get the recognition as the leader, but we really work as an ensemble. So it's really a reflection of the efforts of the entire team to serve our clients as best we can and help out the families that God puts in our path.
So I'm thinking there's three types of people listening to us today. The first one are young people that might be planning on getting married. And is it too early for them to make a plan together before they get married?
Oh, absolutely not. I think starting a habit of talking about money and being transparent about your finances, whether it's your actual finances you have, your ambitions for what you want to do with your money, your values around money, these all should be early conversations when you're in a relationship. If you start to really, you know, rely on somebody else financially, there needs to be a lot of transparency around those values and the goals.
I'm thinking the second type of person we're listening to or that might be listening today are married couples that haven't been married too terribly long, still probably young, but haven't put in place a plan, haven't really talked about it. And we're really here to give them a call to action and give them a way to do that. And then the third type of folk that I think we're talking to today are that couple that's been married a long time. You know, the people that have put together a financial plan, the people that have been living based on what you're going to share today of biblical principles and stuff, we want to encourage them, but they are good. I mean, they are not having the issues that most of us have had in this life. So what I'm hoping is that those three types of individuals can really pick up. I'm praying that they will listen to what you have to say, and we're going to have a great time talking about it. So let's start and say, you know, money is a hard issue. Share with us what you think about
it. So part of why money can be so complex and why it can cause disruption in any relationship and marriages is because it is really a hard issue. Most of the issues around money stem from the heart. And the verse behind this that a lot of people are familiar with, if they're longtime believers, is Matthew 6:21, which is where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And the key thing there, what's the lead? Is it the heart or does the treasure lead?
Where your treasure.
And the idea here, the way I read it, is where you put your money, where your money goes, that's where your heart is. So that's a reflection of that connection between our emotions, our priorities, our beliefs, and our money. And so that's why God cares so much about our money, because he really wants our heart. He doesn't want to be in competition. And so you can see if our heart and our money are so related, how money and relationships could, you know, be interconnected, and problems with money could also lead to problems in relationships. And what you see is if you go online, you Google divorce, reasons for divorce, causes for divorce, money issues is always number one or number two. It's right up there with infidelity. And so it's obviously a big issue in marriages, and I think it's not talked about enough in relationships. I don't think it's something that we're really taught in the household is part of why we don't always get modeled good money behaviors, money conversations. If I have children, my wife and I, we have two kids, we try to have some of our money conversations in front of our kids, but not all of them. So they're not always seeing how do we talk about money. They're not having that model. And so then we grow up, and especially in the modern culture, we're very me-oriented, and all of a sudden we become a we, And we have to start to compromise. We start to have to share with someone else what's going on with our finances. And there's a lot of opportunity there for things to go south. So that's a big problem. And some of the issues we see is things like secrecy. You know, I'm spending on things, but not wanting to tell you about it because I might feel guilt about it or just, you know, I feel like it's my issue. You know, debt can put a lot of stress on a relationship, and it can cause a lot of explosions in relationships. Arguing about big expenses like homes, cars, vacations, people having difference of opinion and not really having those skills to negotiate that in a marriage. You know, these are all issues we see pop up on a regular basis as advisors. And I spend a lot of time playing the marriage counselor, so to speak, in my office in conversations with couples who are otherwise maybe in a great place. But once money comes up, we have friction.
So you kind of recommend that people start talking about that maybe even during the dating process.
Absolutely. I don't think you should go too far in a relationship with somebody, and certainly not to the point where you're getting engaged and considering marriage, without having at least some understanding. And one of the things I've seen a lot with younger couples, you mentioned those young couples starting out, if you don't know how your spouse or your fiance or the person you're dating feels about money, once you start to get around their parents, look at their financial condition and get a sense of their attitudes about money. And that usually trickles down to the kids, and you'll start to see maybe where your spouse is heading long term. But it's something that's so easy to do if you start it as a habit. It's like so many things like saving and giving. The conversation, the communication part about money also is something that should start off as just a regular. You're not going to be perfect at the front end, but there's little principles we can talk about today that will help people maybe start to be more transparent and be better about money as a couple.
That's good stuff. I remember years ago there was a famous comedian who I won't mention his name. I still enjoy a lot of his comedy because he's pretty clean and non-profane. But he says, have you read my book? It's called How I Turned $1 Million in Real Estate into $25 in Cash. That's a book that I could have authored. Brian Cochran, John Moore and Associates in studio with us. He is a certified financial planner. His company helps to underwrite programming here on KNKT, and a lot of us have heard about Kingdom Builders, and MoneyWise is the program you guys sponsor. So really happy to have you here, and we're going to talk more about this. We hope if you are a couple that's faced with money issues or just want to come up with a great plan and it's all positive, please stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
New Mexico is still known as the late-term abortion capital of the world. Last year, HB 51 and HB 90 were defeated because of your efforts.
Please join us again at Right to Life Committee of New Mexico as we work to save lives, protect women, protect children, and protect our doctors.
For more information on how you can again make a difference, call Right to Life Committee of New Mexico at 505-881-4563. That's 505-881-4563.
Middle and high school students, listen up. You are invited to experience the snowy mountains of Colorado as we refresh, refocus, and restore our walks with Christ on this 3-day, 2-night retreat. It's all happening at the Snow Wolf Lodge in Pagosa Springs on February 15th through the 17th. We'll have some amazing times of worship, Bible study, games, and all the snow you can eat, sled, and play in. Space is limited and the cost is $175. Sign up today by visiting the events webpage at calvarynm.church.
Hi, and we're back with today's MoneyWise Minute with Rob West.
We often say that money is just a tool, but stop to consider that God also uses that tool, so it makes perfect sense that he would use it to sharpen and discipline us. He wants us to manage his resources wisely, and his word is filled with verses telling us how to do that. Some, like Luke 16:11, speak of eternal consequences. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? Of course, our salvation does not depend upon how we manage money. But after coming to a saving faith, we're given time to become more Christ-like. That includes using the tool of money wisely, managing it according to God's financial principles.
And we can help you learn to manage your money according to biblical principles when you visit us online at moneywise.org. Write it down, moneywise.org.
Listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Brian Cochran, John Moore and Associates. He is a certified financial planner and has really been successful in New Mexico. Family man, likes the Portland Trailblazers. I know a little bit about the Portland Trailblazers because Terry Stotts, who is their coach, When he was in college, we both used to work at Washington State's basketball camp when George Raveling was the coach there. And I'm not going to tell you how many years ago that was, but we were both pretty young college players, and Terry was from that time always coaching and always making people around him better. I'm always fascinated with those NBA coaches because they're coaching people that are literally making 10 or 20 times more money than they are.
Yep.
And they're the boss. So it's an interesting dynamic, and some are successful and some are not. Terry is an excellent coach. Doesn't have as many players as I think he needs.
Yep, not right now. Not a lot of injuries.
Yeah, they sure do. And, Brian, you also play a little basketball in your life. I always like that because I'm a former basketball player myself. I used to spend a lot of time next to the coach, so maybe I should have been a coach.
There you go. That's a great role. I get to coach my children now who are 9 and 11.
Oh, what a fun time.
We have a lot of fun around basketball right now in our family.
Oh, it really is. I remember those days with great affection. County League, City League, AYBL, and now there's probably two or three other leagues that I don't even know about that are out
the
there.
The growth curve is just so much faster with those young kids. You know, you'll take a kid during a season, we'll go from having no skills to having a lot of skills really fast.
Yeah. So, Brian, we're talking about money and how that affects relationships, marriages in particular. And we're talking about, start talking about it before you get married, come up with a plan. And when you do get married, you have a giving plan, a savings plan, an investment plan. Tell me how, why is communication about this so important?
I think it's like so many things in a relationship, in a marriage. It's all about understanding, empathy, compromise. These are all qualities, skills, factors of a marriage that are important. Mm-hmm. And in the absence of communication, you're going to get distrust. You're going to have surprises come up financially that just aren't really fair to the other person. Mm-hmm. So the couples we see that are most successful, certainly they live out other key principles we teach about living within your means and managing debt wisely. But the overriding sort of the blanket over all of it is good communication when there's a couple involved. Mm. And it's so amazing to me how obvious it is when a new couple comes in to talk to us for the first time. We can find out within 2 or 3 minutes how good the communication is by how much they share the conversation, how much they can both speak to their financial situation, their financial goals, mm-hmm. as opposed to maybe one person in the couple really sort of overriding the other.
Sure.
And I've seen some real terrible examples of communication too, where there's been a lot of disrespect just right there in front of us in our office between couples. So I've seen the highs and the lows. I've seen people do it well and people who are really failing in this. And then you look at the actual numbers that coincide with the good communicators versus the bad, the financial stress expressed for the people who communicate well versus those who don't. And it's a stark difference. So that communication is just huge. And there's a few principles that we encourage to try to kind of instill this good communication. You mentioned there's some couples maybe listening today who are long-time, you know, married couples who are doing a lot of things right. Maybe some of these principles are new and they can help them keep growing in their relationship and their understanding of money.
Mm. Start with us on some of those principles.
Sure.
Brian, I'm excited that you're here, but I will try to get our listeners to understand. You got to do something. Mm-hmm. You know, we have nutritionists in Jennifer Bryan. She tells us all these good things to eat. And then, I talk to people or people email me and say, gee, I just can't seem to stop, you know, or lower my weight or lower my percentage of body fat. And then when you find out what they're eating chips and chili con queso on a regular basis. So I always refer to Hebrews 12:11. It says, discipline is never pleasant.
Yep.
You know, I liken it to a marathon runner. I have some friends that are marathon runners. And they get a rush and an exhilaration from running. I personally would never run on purpose.
Yep.
Running was punishment.
Yep.
You know that as a basketball player.
Yeah.
You miss a layup, you miss a defensive assignment. Yeah, it's a negative consequence of doing something wrong in a sport. A friend of mine that is a cross-country runner at Baylor, he actually made up a shirt when he was El Dorado High School. It said, my sport is your sport's punishment.
Yep.
And that's just hysterically funny, but so true.
Yep.
Well, I bring this up because talking about money is probably not going to be a warm, fuzzy feeling.
No, it isn't always. But it's like a lot of things, though. It's like that runner. The first couple of times you do it, maybe it's awkward. Maybe it's uncomfortable. Maybe you're a little sore after.
Yeah.
But once it becomes a habit, it can even become a little bit addictive because you see the positive effects.
Yeah.
And you're talking about action. I'll read a tweet that I saw just before I came in to see you today. And this woman said, it's been 6 months since I joined the gym and no progress. I'm going there in person tomorrow to see what's really going on. And
I love it.
I feel like that's the kind of thing we see in relationship a lot, is just a lack of action, a lack of implementation. So a couple principles we see is to get in the habit of what we call a money date. Mm. And it's a time, one-on-one time. And when you have children, this can be hard to come by. Mm-hmm. I know it is for my wife and I. We just struggle to find time alone. But it's an isolated time where you know the topic will be money.
Mm.
There's no skirting around it. We are here to talk about finances. And it doesn't mean you have to have your balance sheet out, your net worth statement, or your 401k statement. The idea here is to have dialogue around, what do you hope to accomplish? What's stressing you out right now about money? What do we need to be doing differently? What short and long-term goals do we have? And just have a time where that's the focus. Because if money is not something you enjoy talking about, it is easy to defer. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about, and when you have a family, when you have children especially, or grandchildren, there's always something else you can be talking about besides the personal finances.
Sure.
And this then gives you a venue to voice concerns, to share things that are going on. And it fights what we worry about with couples. It fights that one person's in charge of everything and not sharing with the other,
mm-hmm.
or that one person's doing something they know they probably shouldn't be with money, whether it's, you know, running up credit card debts or things of that nature that we know are negative for the family and they're not talking about it. There's no excuse for that if you're taking this time. So that money date, and maybe for a couple that could be every month, maybe it's once a quarter. At least twice a year, though, I think a money date should happen, where you set aside a time where you know that is the agenda item. So that creates dialogue. And then along the way, day to day, I just heard a couple talking about this the other day, actually, this idea that a check-in call, a phone call to your spouse whenever you're going to spend money over a certain limit. This couple started this in the 80s, so their limit was $50. Now, $50 isn't much nowadays.
Sure.
But so if you're at, you know, the local retailer and you're about to buy a new piece of furniture for the home or a very expensive jacket for yourself or a new pair of shoes, find some limit and make that call. And what I loved about the way this couple mentioned it, they said, we've never told each other no. It's not about permission.
Mm.
It's about transparency and understanding. Because otherwise, if a money problem shows up later where there's not enough in the bank account,
sure,
and that money wasn't talked about, that expenditure wasn't talked about, that's something that person can point to and say, well, maybe if you hadn't bought this, well, now you know it's out there. And a lot of times that's all the pause it takes. If you stop and get your cell phone out and call your spouse and have that conversation, that's maybe all the pause it takes to realize you don't really need this item.
Mm-hmm.
If it's, you know, if it's lacking importance at such a level that you're not even willing to call your spouse about it, maybe you really don't need to buy that. So it's kind of a spending check too, but really it's about creating ongoing conversation about where's the money going? How are we spending? And those two things combined would probably double or triple the amount that most couples are spending talking about money. You know, just
right.
Those two things.
Right.
And nowadays, you know, if I had to put that limit on our household, it'd probably be $200, $250 to make that phone call, not the $50 from the couple
sure.
who started this in the 80s, but it's still a good habit to have.
Now, a lot of times you're not talking about $200. You're talking about charging it
yep.
on a credit card. Now, a lot of people have a great habit. Well, I don't know if it's a great habit. I shouldn't phrase it that way. You might tell me, Jim, you shouldn't do that. But a lot of people will have a spending limit and manage their budget on a credit card because it actually gets categorized now.
Sure.
And it helps them with their budgeting. And what they do at the end of the month is pay that off.
Sure.
100%. But they're not incurring interest. And many times they're incurring things that are beneficial, like travel points on airlines and things like that. But I'm not sure how you feel about that type of thing.
As long as you're using it responsibly, that credit card's a tool. Mm. And like anything else, my car's a tool. As long as I drive it responsibly, it's safe and it can get me from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
When I start breaking the rules and not using it responsibly, now it can be a dangerous tool.
Those right? two-wheel stands that so, you do 50
exactly.
miles an hour? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the kind of thing where it's a good tool as long as you use it properly. But still, even if the money's not coming out of your bank account today, if it's a payment you're going to make tomorrow, I think that almost is more important that you make that phone call to the spouse and say, hey, I'm about to spend this. Wanted to give you the heads up. Any thoughts? And get that sort of accountability check, get that confirmation. And again, maybe you never say no, but at least you're on the same page.
We are talking to Brian Cochran. He's with John Moore & Associates, Certified Financial Planner. He's given us two really great things, talking about being having a money date and a check-in call, all about money today and how you need to communicate in your relationship with your spouse or soon-to-be spouse, and lots of ways to recover from bad decisions. So stay with us. Brian will have more for us right after these messages.
What are you doing to enhance your marriage?
We want to be on the same page.
Even when that gets tough.
Family Life's Weekend to Remember.
It was one of, like, the best weekends ever.
We just want to soak in all this knowledge.
It's fun and practical.
The Weekend to Remember is coming to the Hyatt Regency Tamaya Resort and Spa February 21st.
Just do it, because you're going to get something good out of this.
Wow, this is really making a difference.
Sign up through January 28th and save 50% per couple. Visit weekendtoremember.com.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities, dizziness, and bladder or bowel issues. Can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
What kind of Bible student are you? Casual? Serious? Totally dedicated? Whichever describes you, here's a fast fact about improving your studies. Beyond listening and reading, here are two proven ways to make your Bible study more effective. Write down what you learn, then tell someone else about it. How good is that? Your understanding of the Bible can be improved in 2020 and beyond. That's why we want to put a Bible from 30,000 feet workbook in your hands and into your life. Remember, a quick overview of a passage or even an entire book may be helpful, but to really appreciate the full landscape of Scripture across all 66 books, you need something more than a snapshot. We want to help you grasp the full scope of principles of Scripture with the companion workbook to Skip Heitzig's study, The Bible from 30,000 Feet. We'll send you your copy of The Bible from 30,000 Feet workbook when you give a generous donation of $35 or more today to keep this program on air and connect more people to God's Word. To give today, call 800-922-1888. Or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are talking about Christian principles of handling money, and particularly communication among couples and how to manage your money. Brian just started giving us a few insights, a couple really neat suggestions. One he calls a money date, where you know the topic of your conversation is going to be about money. And I have a sense that that's not always going to be a smooth conversation. But if you do it a few times, the road gets less bumpy, right?
Yep. And maybe hold that money date in a public place so it keeps some of the emotions in check. But no, that's key. And what we see a lot, though, is couples still struggle with this. Or we were just talking off air about how often in a couple there's one person who's really the driver of the money process. They're mm-hmm. the CFO of the family, if you will. They know where the investments are. They're making the big financial decisions. They're maybe executing the day-to-day bill paying. Oftentimes, almost every couple we meet with, it's not an equal share of responsibilities. There's one person who's just more inclined to manage the money. Mm-hmm. So one of the roles we do as a financial advisor is to get both people together and really get both parties involved in that money conversation more, so that the non-financial spouse, if you will, is not left in the dark. And also what we find is, even if that non-financial spouse really trusts the other and has faith in them, there's still always a little pause, a little doubt about whether or not, are we really in good shape? Does my financial spouse really know what they're doing? So our job as an advisor sometimes is to provide that objective third party to come in and say, yes, you are doing this right, or no, we need to make some adjustments here or there. And that can give good guidance for the person who's driving the finances, but also mm-hmm. give a sense of relief, a sense of confidence for that non-financial partner who's maybe in charge of a million other things in the household, but has really delegated the finances to the husband or wife. And traditionally, that's been more the man that runs the money, but I'm seeing more and more it's the wife, mm-hmm. For whatever reason, just different gender roles that evolve in our culture. And I don't say one does better than the other, the husband versus the wife. But either way, you really benefit by having that third party come in and give a thumbs up to what's being done.
Brian, I've been involved in some premarital programs, one with my former spouse. And I tell people this all the time. The people that did that for us were just really gentle, amazing people, had an amazing marriage and still do, I believe. But it was more of a perpetuation of the relationship. There was really no accountability for any issues or talking about it. So I remember having a conversation with Skip Heitzig some years ago about what could they have done to help me in my marriage with my former spouse. And one of the things I said to him is I said, well, this may sound not very lovey-dovey, but I think that people ought to start with a process where they intentionally want to reveal everything about themselves to the other person. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, we are all pretentious to some degree. So I suggested, and, you know, Skip was interested, but, you know, didn't want, I kind of had a harsh perspective. I said, what we ought to do is start with a credit report. Mm-hmm. Not that you can't marry somebody with bad credit, but you at least ought to know. And what I was really trying to address was not the credit worthiness of the person you're marrying, but the heart to let the other person know about the challenges you're faced with in your life before you get married. Because guess what happens the first week you're married? If you haven't disclosed it, it's all coming to full knowledge. The other person's going to find out about it. And that's a difficult thing to put a marriage in that circumstance. So really want to encourage people to listen to this. And the call to action is to really start talking about it and have communication. So I do want to address one more question about the spouse that may be the financial spouse. That's a fun term. And you mentioned men and women. Well, I know a couple right now, very successfully married. She's an accountant. So it automatically kind of defaulted to her. But I think it's important even to challenge them. Okay, well, maybe she's taking care of paying the bills. Maybe she's taking care of balancing the checkbook, which is different now. You remember the old days of keeping a ledger manual?
Yep.
People don't do that anymore. They're using things like Mint and, you know, your credit card balances and all those things are kind of categorized for you. And you have a real-time balance most of the time. Even if you charge something today, it's immediately showing up on your account. So people aren't really balancing their checkbook like they used to. There are overdrafts and now the fees are ridiculous. I mean, I don't know what fees are now, but they're close to $40, I think.
And what I find is people aren't balancing their checkbook. They're looking at their online statement to make sure everything's there that should be and that there's nothing there that shouldn't be.
Yeah.
That's what I do is I look at our bank statement at least every other day just to make sure there's no fraud happening. And I have caught, you know, expenses that shouldn't have been there that someone else took our information. So, but I think a lot of that, you know, there is some inclination. There's training some people have. Some people are more money or numbers oriented that might guide them toward that. But that doesn't mean that the other person doesn't add value. That doesn't, they don't have an opinion. I think a lot of these, issues that come up that might lead to divorces and friction in a marriage come from the assumption that, well, I'm the money person. I've got this under control. But again, it's not just about the numbers.
Right.
You know, good, proper financial planning is so much more than the numbers. It's about the goals. It's about the fears. It's about the emotion. And there's a woman named Shanti Felden who does a lot of studies around this. And I like the way she explains it. She says men and women have different insecurities around money. And I don't mean to stereotype one or the other, but what she's found with her research is about 75% of men and 75% of women fall into different categories. You know, for men, money's about provision, about feeling useful, about being an important part of the family. Whereas women, they're much more concerned about using money to feel loved. And it's more of a, it's just a whole different emotional goal. So if the husband's just managing the money and he thinks if the bills are paid, we're great, right? Mm-hmm. But if the wife doesn't feel loved, doesn't feel cared for, doesn't feel important and valued, then there's going to be a gap there, no matter how many dollars are in the bank. And that's the key thing is good financial planning. It's not always about having more in the bank.
What if a couple gets caught into what I would call the keeping up with the Joneses syndrome? Who holds them accountable? Do they even realize that's happening?
Well, I think that's where the third party, that's where someone like myself or any type of outside party that can come in and see that, you know, that's, you're telling me this is important to you, your retirement's important, your children's education's important, but you're spending in ways that show that other things might be more important. Let's talk about that. We can get into those conversations. And I love the verse Proverbs 15:22. It says, plans go wrong for lack of advice, but with many advisors, they succeed. So the idea that not just an advisor, but maybe you have multiple parties, you know, maybe myself as a financial advisor, I can be in there with a relationship, but maybe there's other people, friends, family members who also have the authority to raise their hand and say, you know, you might be doing something wrong here. I see an issue, and being willing to be open to that advice.
But, well, you mentioned tax advisors. Mm-hmm. Most people have somebody that file their taxes, or they're using a software program to do that. And a lot of times you aren't going to act as a tax advisor, but when they make an investment and they want to do something, you do know how to help them protect the investments, exactly. Give them tax shelters and various things.
Yeah, but again, that's where the conversation has to go beyond the numbers. A tax advisor, I see some tax advisors that are very competent with compliance, and we call them historians. They report what happened last year. Mm-hmm. Other tax advisors are more trained and willing to take you forward and say, what's going on in your life? You know, what can we plan for? What's going on next year and the year after? And then they can give more counsel that way. But again, multiple parties giving you advice is not a bad thing, as long as they're not, you know, pulling you different directions that maybe breach your values. You know, that's where you have to have advisors that really understand you and what's important to you.
Well, one of the money things we have around here is we have to thank the people that support our programming. So we're going to take a break, say thank you to our sponsors. We hope you'll stay with us, and more with Brian Cochran when we get back.
Support by DreamSpring, a nonprofit community lender. For over 25 years, DreamSpring has been increasing access to business credit for entrepreneurs across New Mexico, Colorado, Arizona, and beyond. DreamSpring offers loans for self-employed entrepreneurs, startups, and large established enterprises. Information about flexible credit requirements, affordable rates, and customized lending available by calling 800-508-7624 or online at dreamspring.org.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of old school gimmicks and games while shopping for a new car, then experience something new school at Power Ford. You'll get none of the hocus pocus, hokey pokey stuff the other guys try to pull. So here's the deal. We'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. Come see why others rated us Best of the City and Ford Dealer of the Year. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaña, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Take your knowledge of Scripture to a whole new level with online classes from Veritas International University. Learn more about the Bible on your schedule while working toward a certificate or fully accredited undergraduate or graduate degree that will impact your spiritual life for the rest of your life. So select teachings from the Bible from 30,000 feet are now part of the distance learning curriculum at Veritas International University, with online classes from Pastor Skip Heitzig, including Old Testament Survey, New Testament Survey, Genesis, and Revelation. When you complete the Bible from 30,000 feet curriculum and connect with Calvary College, you'll receive a special certificate from Calvary Church. Through Veritas, you can take online, fully accredited classes working towards a bachelor's, master's, or a PhD. The spring semester is quickly approaching. For a full list of classes and to enroll, go to viu.ves.edu. That's viu.ves.edu.
This is Steve Ryman from the KNKT Business Relations Office. Did you know that according to Simmons Research, 72% of Christian radio listeners prefer to buy from a business that advertises on their radio station? 62% say they would shop more at a known business if it advertised on Christian radio. I'll introduce your company to the KNKT listening family. Our listeners make great customers. Email me now at advertise@knkt.com. That's advertise@knkt.com. And I'll show you that KNKT means business.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Brian Cochran, John Moore & Associates financial planner in studio with us. And Brian, tell us a little bit about John Moore & Associates. You have some resources on your website. Give us your website. Tell us a little bit about what you do. You have a whole team that help investors and families and people that are wanting to put all this kind of stuff together.
Yeah. So we've been in New Mexico for 22 years now as an independent firm. And being independent means that we're not beholden to a bank or an insurance company that tells us to sell their products. Basically, mm-hmm. Our advice can be much more objective, and we can hold out our unique Christian values in an independent format. We have an office in Uptown here in Albuquerque, and then we have another office in Arizona that's located in central Scottsdale. And we've had that presence there for about 6 years now. Johnmoore.com is our website if you want to learn more. The profiles for our team members are there. I also encourage people to look at our insights. That's where we write blogs. I put a link to our recordings from these sessions there as well to help make sure people get exposed to that. And I think we do a decent job trying to stay on the most recent financial issues and topics through that insights tab. You can also follow us on Twitter. My Twitter handle is ABQPlanner. So that you can look for it there. And I post all of our most recent insights to Twitter. And then also looked up John Moore Associates on LinkedIn or Facebook.
Man, you were kind of like these Gen Z and X people that know how to use all this social media stuff.
Yeah, we're working on it. Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yep.
I can't even use Facebook. I'm learning that right now. So, again, Brian Cochran, John Moore and Associates, and we are talking about money, particularly in relationships, marriage relationships. It's one of the main causes of divorce. You compared it to infidelity, which obviously is a these are tragic things that don't have to happen.
Exactly.
That's the sad part. They don't have to happen. And you've used the word a couple of times, developing habits, good financial planning, good communication. Tell us about the differences. You've already mentioned some, but tell us about the differences between how men and women think about money.
Yeah, the way we explain it, and this is, I credit this to our founder and my mentor, John Moore. He really talks about it as men think of money like a river and women think of money like a lake. And again, this is a generality that might apply to maybe 75% of men and women. There certainly are river mentality women that we work with. Mm-hmm. But in general, that lake and river mentality is what we see. And our goal is to find where the river runs into the lake. An example of this, I had a couple in just yesterday, actually, someone I've been serving for several years. Great couple, good solid finances. They probably don't talk about money a lot outside of our meetings. So I think there's a good value in them coming in and having conversations. But it's always the same dialogue. The husband is very comfortable with their finances. He's okay. They have a little bit of debt, basic mortgage, things like that. He's very comfortable because he knows the money coming in is more than the money going out. That's the river, right? The money's flowing. He's looking at the cash flow.
Gotcha.
The wife is always very concerned about the balance of their mortgage and the balance of their assets. That's lake mentality. What's stored or reservoir mentality.
Well, yeah, there you go.
So, what's in the pile? What's in the
particularly pool? Relevant in New Mexico.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we hear a lot about what's in
water,
the reservoir.
You know, yeah.
So, and so part of my job is to get them combined, get the river and the lake put together and making sure that it's all still healthy and that there's plenty of water in the end to make sure they can do what they need to do. And we see that all the time. And sometimes it does take, like we were saying before, that third party to get that conversation out on the table and understand. And what we see is that a lot of times when couples aren't functioning, they're not respecting that other spouse's point of view, the other spouse's mentality. You know, it's very easy for that husband to go, why are you worried about it? All the money's coming in. We're fine. The bills are paid each month. He could totally blow off the wife and say, you know, your opinion doesn't matter. The successful couples are the ones that try to meet their spouse in the middle and say, let's talk about the way you're thinking about it. You know, what stresses you out? Here's how I think about it. And then you get into the whole communication style of men and women. You have another challenge there, and we have to be more empathetic and slow down and speak to each other the way that we expect to be spoken to.
I can't help but think about Dr. Emerson Eggerich's book, Love and Respect. One of the things that he emphasizes is when you're talking about difficult subjects, you need to first start with the premise that your spouse actually has kind, goodwill intentions in bringing the topic up. They're not putting you on the spot or accusing you, but somehow when you mention money, people feel accused on either side. And you really need to understand that it's just an interest in communicating, finding out what's going on. And as you've said, if you can develop the habits, it's really not going to be that big a deal.
Yep. And having lots of those little conversations along the way keeps it from being a bigger issue. The other issue is just, again, communication styles. So men typically take in new information and they need some quiet time to process that. Mm-hmm. Whereas women are more verbal. They're going to want to talk through the issue. So the woman might think the man's shut down when he's really just trying to process this new information. Mm-hmm. You know, so sometimes you need to pause, step away, let the husband process the situation on his own, get back together, and then let the wife process verbally with the husband. And how many times, you know, any of us husbands out there who are listening, you come home and your wife starts talking to you about her day. She's verbally processing her day with you. You just want to sit down, have some time to yourself, especially if you're in a role like mine where you're talking to people all day and being engaged and trying to show empathy and understanding. you're exhausted from that mentally, whereas your spouse is trying to, you know, process. So again, we have to just be thoughtful about that when we're talking to each other about money. Be thoughtful about the perspective, the lake versus river mentality, if you can identify that with your spouse. I think these are all important parts of the communication. And then you have to have that frequency we talked about with the money dates and then the phone calls when big expenses are happening. You put all that together and you're probably ahead of the average when it comes to the way you're communicating about your money.
So, Brian, let me give you a scenario which is common to a lot of us in 2008. Up till 2008, we had a rockin' real estate market here in Albuquerque. And then actually about 2006, there started being these loan products available called no-doc loans, no-income verification loans, 125% second mortgages where you would actually put people upside down in equity in their house. And I knew as a lender that it was just a matter of time. And of course, it all came crashing down. In New Mexico, I think we probably lost 50 to 70% of the land values in Rio Rancho. We lost 30, 40% of the land values in Albuquerque. I know realtors that were closing 30, 40 deals a month and were literally millionaires that ended up having to get jobs as waiters because the real estate market was gone. The point of what I'm making is you can't, there are things that you can't control that you've made an investment in, namely a home. Albuquerque up to that point had never really lost any value in terms of land or home values. And then all of a sudden people were upside down in their homes. How is this planning process and how is this communication process going to help you in that kind of situation?
Well, I think what you see in a situation like that is those couples who haven't had a habit of communication, now they're forced to communicate. There's a big problem in the personal finances. It could be a lost job. It could be home values. It could be a million things, all the ripple effects of that type of period. And if you don't have a foundation of good communication, if you haven't started that habit, now you're trying to figure out how to communicate while under stress, while under this pressure. And I think it was Kennedy said that the time to repair the roof is when the sun is shining.
Yeah.
And economically, the sun is shining right now. Most families are doing better financially right now than they have before. So this is the time to create those habits when there isn't pressure so that when something goes wrong, you now have that form of communication. You know how your spouse thinks about money. You know what their fears and their hopes and their goals are, and you can then address that rather than wait till there's a big problem and then it's too late and now you're trying to communicate in a panic.
So many times when people feel pain of any kind, emotional pain, physical pain, spiritual pain, they use the word confused. I don't hear that term used very much from athletes. So you know in hard practices what was causing you pain physically. You were running sprints, you were playing defense, you were exhausted, and you're feeling pain. But you were very clear what was causing that.
Yep.
And you'd get yourself out of the game, get a blow, and get back into the game, right? That's what coaches do. They keep you fresh. Well, a lot of people, when they feel pain, they're saying they're confused. But I think if they have good communication, they're going to know. I mean, some things might be going wrong. The market may be falling temporarily. And you've coached us already on how not to make knee-jerk reactions in regard to the market and to really rely on somebody. And you've given us some great statistics. So when we come back, I'm going to ask you a little bit about how you help people stabilize the emotions in regard to their investing. The political thing is what really affects people. So more with Brian Cochran. We'll be back after these messages. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Carlos Griego, owner of Bosque HVAC and Roofing. As we start a new year, we want to wish you and your family a prosperous and safe year in 2020. Happy New Year.
Quality, experience, personal service. Dom Garcia Realty, placing the interest of others first.
EJ and I, we had two properties, and the mortgages were killing us, so we were looking for a realtor that was a believer.
Had great references and had a great selling history.
Our pastor referred us to Dom Garcia. We prayed to God that we would not only sell the property, but sell it quickly.
And in 2 weeks, the house was sold. Dom gave us great ideas on how to prepare the properties for selling.
When we signed the listing agreement, we prayed over it with Dom.
Selling experience was just marvelous.
Dom stepped in and got it done.
We are a full-service broker that includes working with buyers and sellers, renting, leasing, management, whether residential or commercial.
Dom Garcia Realty, 899-4644, 899-4644.
Se habla español.
Duke City Ready Mix, your local premier concrete and gravel producer, recently received national recognition by winning the Excellence in Concrete Quality Award from the National Ready Mix Association. We are dedicated to earning your trust by our consistent quality, service, and by being a good neighbor, serving the entire valley. Visit us at QualityMattersHere.com or call 877-5777. Duke City Ready Mix. Quality, service, community.
You're listening to Plugged In on KNKT.
Are you Dr. Doolittle?
The new movie Doolittle looks in on a certain Victorian doctor who loves animals so much that he's learned to speak their language. Based on British author Hugh Lofting's book, this pick is a rollicking talking animal adventure featuring a quirky animal talking guy. It's the sort of pick that kids will forgive and adults will pretty quickly forget. The jokes can feel a bit molting, and the kid lessons are a little flighty, but it's colorful, broad fun that's at least worth a cheery honk, growl, or squeak. So we'll give Doolittle 4 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. Plugging you into the movies, I'm Bob Olszewski for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
The most important information anyone can receive comes from an understanding of the Bible. Only here do we find direct revelation about all things, about life and relationship with God. Life doesn't always provide us with time or opportunity to break away and study the Bible full time. That's why KNKT is dedicated to presenting round-the-clock teaching by some of the best communicators we can find about Scripture and how it relates to our lives. We need to be exposed to the full counsel of God's Word. And now, KNKT presents a Bible School of the Air. Each Saturday, starting at 9 a.m., KNKT will present Through the Bible, verse-by-verse teachings by Chuck Smith and Chuck Missler. Skip Heitzig, followed by a question-and-answer session with Scott Richards. We'll be rotating through the Old and New Testament, so drop into our Bible journey at any time and go through the entire Word of God with us. The KNKT Bible School of the Air. Tuition is free. The rewards are eternal. Take your seat Saturdays at 9 a.m. on 107.1 FM.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back with Brian Cochran, John Moore and Associates. Thank you for staying with us on ABQ Connect. One more segment here with Brian. And Brian, how about the concept of we're a married couple and I want to have a separate checking account from my wife and maybe separate accounts altogether? How do you feel about that type of thing?
Yeah, I'm not a fan, personally. No. I've seen it work for some couples, so I'm not going to say it's a terrible thing. And to me, you have to think about the why. Why have separate accounts? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid to share your information, share your money? It's all God's money in the end.
Yeah, and that, whose money it is an interesting
So it's point. All God's money, and it's all in your household. Hey, we're in a community property state. You get to the point where you do get divorced, it's all coming to the table. So what I've seen is it adds, first off, a layer of complexity that's simply unnecessary. What most couples will do is I get my salary in my checking account, you get your salary in your checking account, then we'll both put some proportion in for the expenses, and there's all these steps, and, well, did you get your share in, and what bills are you paying, what bills, I mean, throw all that out, put your money in one pot, and manage it properly. The other thing is it just breeds what we've been talking about here, which is the problem of, you know, lack of transparency or secrecy with money. Okay. If you are afraid that your spouse will not be happy with how you're using your money, then that's a conversation you need to be having. It's not something you should hide by storing money in a separate place, separate from your spouse. So I just don't see the value in it. I think it's something I see more and more with young couples now. It's a product of this desire for gender equality, I think, partly. You know, I'm my own woman. I'm my own man. I'll have my own money, but there's no value added in that. And so it's making the finances more about you rather than the household and the couple than the unity that you're supposed to represent as a couple. And I think it can work and it can function, but I don't think it's promoting good behaviors, good attitudes, or what we want to see, which is simplicity in the way you manage your money.
So here's another topic that I kind of had on my mind today, and that is the motivation that people have to change investment strategies. Mm-hmm. One of the things that is prevalent in our culture today are what we view as instability in the political mm-hmm. structure that we have in this country. The interesting thing is a lot of people either love or hate our president. But the truth is that the stock market has increased pretty steadily
yep.
since he came into office. And what's interesting is the bond market has actually stayed very stable,
yep.
keeping interest rates very low. So it's kind of been the best of both worlds, which in the world of lending, I've never seen that happen before.
Yeah, it's a rare thing. And we do see that where people are putting politics in the lead for their decision making. And you know, you look at the last two administrations, the current and the last, there was something there that for someone not to like, doesn't matter where you are, someone was unhappy at some point about the outcomes of the last few elections. And if that was driving your investment decision making and you pulled money out of the market because you didn't like the previous administration or the current, boy, what a mistake. So we've had this incredible 10-year bull market that no one would have expected when it bottomed out in 2009 coming out of that Great Recession.
Right.
So it's something we really discourage. And so it kind of goes back to this idea of communication, of priorities, of goals. If you have good long-term goals, they shouldn't be impacted by who's in the White House, you know, every 4 years or what's going on in Congress. And certainly those things can impact the markets in the short term. But if that's what's driving your decision making, then you've got a serious decision making issue that mm-hmm. you need better process for how you're making your financial decisions.
Well, I want to go back to something you've shared literally every time you're here. So let's say you're doing pretty well mm-hmm. and you're living in a home that's really nice. You bought for $150,000. You don't really have a need to go from a 1,900 square foot three bedroom house to a four bedroom 3,500 square foot house that's now 580,000.
Yep.
But a lot of people are doing that.
Yeah, and that's that keeping up with the Joneses you mentioned
yep.
a few minutes ago. So that goes back to the why, you know, what's driving this decision, and are you compromising other important parts of your financial goals because you're seeking out a bigger home, a better car, whatever it might be. And so we like some principles there. We talk about three times your annual income for a house. So if you make $100,000 a year, you're looking for a $300,000 house. Acknowledging that a lender will give you more money than that if you want it, but it's not going to, you're not going to have the ability to do the other things you might need to do, like give and save. And then for a car, looking at, you know, around three months of your income for a car. So if you're making $10,000 a month, that's a $30,000 car. Again, if you're making $10,000 a month, you can go get a loan and get a $80,000 car, no problem. But good luck having some money left over for savings and satisfying these other goals.
Brian, you're so right. Lenders can always loan you more money than you can actually afford.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. They don't care about how much you're giving or saving or who you think owns the money, whether it's you or God. And none of those things fall into the lender's purview. They're just wanting to make sure you have enough income to at least pay them back so they can, you know, lower the risk on that that loan. So those are some things we look at. And, you know, again, this goes back to the idea of couples is sometimes we meet couples where one is debt averse, one is very comfortable with debt. So mm-hmm. what do you do? Well, you better have a conversation and make sure both couples are comfortable with the way you're using debt, your level of debt, and you better have a plan for paying off that debt that the spouse is on board for. And one of the biggest issues I see with couples is that there may be a secret debt out there or one couple goes out and makes a big debt decision, like taking a loan on a new vehicle where the other spouse has not been communicated with. They're not on board. And usually they won't say anything right off the bat. But once you start to get some financial issues, like you were talking about during the financial crisis, once those challenges come up, you'll start to hear how they feel about it.
Well, I know that in MoneyWise and the Kingdom Builders organization, they talk a lot about having a reserve.
Yep.
The very first thing that you have to do before you invest or anything else is save a little money.
Yep.
Talk to us about that a little bit.
And I see people breaching that principle because the stock market has been strong lately. So they're saying, why would I have money in the bank when I can have money in stocks? But there's a very different reason for each. So we always say start out with at least $1,000 of emergency reserve. There's an amazing number of those short-term emergencies that fit within $1,000. Part of the reason we say that is that's not the long-term goal. You should have an emergency reserve, but building an emergency reserve is such a daunting task for so many families that are living paycheck to paycheck that if you say save 3 months or 6 months of reserve, which we also think is good, they just never start to get there and they get discouraged. And saving for emergencies is two step forward, one step back. So you'll get to $500 and then something will come up and you'll go back to 200 and then you'll start moving up. And so in that short term, get to 1,000 and then shoot for that 3 to 6 months of emergency reserves. If you have a job that's extremely variable, that's subject to fluctuations in the economy, like a sales job, commission job, or you're self-employed, that 6 months is maybe more of your goal than someone who has a good stable job where they don't worry about their ability to bring cash flow every month.
Brian, I want to ask you about a specific thing. I have a lot of friends of mine that don't trust the stock market. Mm-hmm. I think it's primarily because they don't actually realize how stable it's been over the last 10 years and over the last 30 years, really. So they've gone out and they've bought a lot of precious metal. Mm-hmm. But everybody I know that's bought precious metal, like gold at one time was $1,600 an ounce, that type of thing, and silver was up to a pretty high level, and most of that has dropped down now. Yeah. And most people I know that have bought precious metal, and I'm not going to be exact here, but within the last 36 months, they've actually lost money on their investments. Yep. How do you direct people? What should they do? Should they liquidate their position and put it in some other type of fund? Maybe that's too generic a question. It has to do more with their specific.
Well, I think the principle there is to stay diversified. Mm. So precious metals have not been a good investment since about 2012, 2013. They've extremely lagged the market and other investments. So if you had all your eggs in that precious metal basket, if you will, if you had all your investments there, you're hurting. If you decided that might be something you want to buy and you put a part of your investment there, then maybe you don't have so much regret. So,
but Brian, I think there's actually people that think, okay, the apocalypse is coming, everything's going to crash. I better have some kind of currency available that, you know, my money's in the bank, but if the bank closes and is gone, I can't get any money out. So I got to have this metal somewhere. Interestingly enough, most people don't have this metal anywhere they could access it.
Yeah. I always think that's an interesting concept. I wonder what this world looks like where there's so much chaos, the banks are closed, but there is enough organization that you're going to walk around with a bag full of gold coins and exchange that for goods or services. The joke I often make is you don't want gold, you want lead in the form of bullets. Because if I've got enough lead, I'm going to take your gold, you know, and that's kind of being facetious, obviously. But what we talk about there is the issue of possibilities versus probabilities. And we should be prepared for possibilities, things like a complete economic collapse. Okay, so maybe you have some gold for that, if that's really a concern. But is that probable? I would have a hard time making a case to say that's very probable.
Man, I love the talking points you give us, Brian. Awesome. Thank you for your time. Appreciate you joining us on ABQ Connect. Thanks.
Yep, my pleasure.
Want to wish everybody a great weekend. We'll see you next week on ABQ Connect.
Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.